I imagine your office told you. I wanted to talk about higher education funding.
Sure.
I mean, Western has said we can't be the same thing. We're going to have to change. And so I'm wondering what politicians, you know, think. You're controlling the purse strings in a way as the legislature. So where do you envision higher education going?
And, Rich, it's an interesting question on a lot of levels. I think that there are a number of individuals in the General Assembly, House and Senate, Democrats, Republicans, that understand higher education funding, the need for higher education funding, both at the community college level and as well as the 4 years. There is also a certain segment that that is secondary to them. It's not their top priority. And that, I think, is first and foremost our biggest challenge, sharing our concerns with our colleagues and getting everybody on board. So that's one of the biggest challenges. I do see some conversations. I'm on a higher education board, and I see conversations about perhaps we should be gearing our 4-year and community college education to the needs of the area. I think that's probably more pertinent when we are speaking of community college education. Certainly Spoon River and Carl Sandburg in this area, I think, do an excellent job of doing exactly that and meeting the needs of the area. But for all 4 years to mimic each other has its downfalls. And I think that, Western particularly, we have a law enforcement college that is second to none. Our agriculture program is incredible. Our business program is incredible. We have things to offer here that other universities do not.
What about, you mentioned there are some lawmakers, some politicians for whom higher education perhaps is not a top priority. Would that include the governor and legislative leaders? Do you have a feel for what they think about higher education?
I wouldn't put it necessarily on the governor and the four legislative leaders. I think that for a lot of my colleagues, if they have a community college in their district, they may have a better feel for the community college need. But they are so far removed from the 4 years that they don't understand the enormous impact, not just on the university students, faculty, staff, but on the communities themselves. And that's where those of us that do have 4-year institutions in our district need to do a better job of educating.
And what are you on a higher education committee in the House?
I'm actually on two higher ed committees in the House. The House has a higher education committee. Most of that committee, we deal with curriculum issues, that type of thing, and then higher education appropriation as well. In addition, I'm one of the 16 members of the budget working group. And as a result, we have formed a subgroup within ourselves of four of us legislators, Senator Rose from Champaign, Senator Donnie Trotter from Chicago, Representative Kelly Burke from Chicago, and myself from Macomb. And the four of us collectively worked together to come to an agreement on what we could do with the stopgap that takes us through January 2nd. And it worked out very well for the four of us, both chambers, both parties to work together. And then we were able to present it to our colleagues on the budget working group. And it was very well accepted. And it was much easier to do it with a group of four than 16.
Higher education funding has dropped over the year, 15 years maybe now,
15
consecutive years, of drops in higher education funding. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that this was the plan to reduce this, or has this sort of just happened over the years? And I know you have not been in the legislature the entire time.
Sure. And it is surprising to know that higher education funding overall has increased between 2002 and 2015. But you and I will both remember during the Blagojevich administration, higher education funding was decimated, absolutely decimated. And we are trying to crawl back up to a level, if we would ever get there, of where we were. I think at that time, Rich, we were at about a $2.5 billion higher education budget. In FY15, we were at about a 1.8. So it was a significant decrease. However, we have increased our funding to higher education about 6%. Unfortunately, 100% of that increase has gone to pay pensions. So that is a huge, huge component of our higher education funding, because our pension payment, like every other aspect of state government, it is a tremendous burden on the funding.
So do you believe that in order to, I guess, turn things around for higher education funding, what the state needs to do first is address the pension issue?
Well, Rich, I'm not going to ask you to hold your breath on that, and I won't as well. There's been a couple of stabs at pension reform in the state of Illinois in recent years, neither of which has been found to be constitutional. So I think until we get some experts in that can study our Constitution and study our pension liabilities and that kind of thing, that's probably not going to be one of the cure-alls for where we are in funding higher education. I think there are some things that we could do that would have smaller impacts than an overall pension reform. One would be our workers' compensation – or I'm sorry, our yes, our workers' comp reform.
Okay.
So there are some aspects of that have a significant impact on higher education, and that would be one way of perhaps finding some additional funding that would be available. And then procurement reform would be another. Again, I go back to the Blagojevich administration. As a result of that administration, we put in some significant procurement laws that typically we went overboard. And I think that some of that could be pared back. Most of our universities and community colleges struggle with that on a daily basis. So I think that we could pare some of that back, but still keep a lot of the protections in place that were intended with the original legislation.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit, the procurement?
Sure. So our universities, our community colleges, all state government is subject to our procurement laws. And so there may be an entity that could supply the university or the community college with a service, be it paper or whatever that might be, copying machines, but they are not part of our approved list. We had a situation with one of our state parks where they needed to replace a battery in their four-wheeler, and they could do it just down the road a couple of miles at a cheaper price. But because that particular vendor was not on the approved list, they were not able to do that. So these are the kind of things that our universities and our community colleges struggle with, that they could get a better bang for the buck if we were to take a better look at who we approve for our vendors and who we don't approve for our vendors. Working collectively, a lot of our universities and community colleges could work together collectively to use one clearinghouse, perhaps, whatever that might be, and save them a considerable amount of money and a considerable amount of paperwork as well. So, you know, when you're doing paperwork, you're paying somebody to do that when they could be doing something else.
So maybe have the Illinois Board of Higher Education buy stuff, some sort of good in bulk, and then distribute it to the schools.
Sure. And we've seen that with McDonough and Hancock several years ago, the K-12. They have a co-op that they currently use where they are able to buy a lot of their supplies in bulk and distribute them accordingly, and it's worked very well for them.
And that procurement list, I guess, are there severe restrictions on who qualifies to sell to the state?
Yeah, there are, and that's just one aspect of what we've done with procurement, the vendor part of it. You know, there are a lot of aspects. There's a lot of moving parts to that act that I believe, went overboard because there was little to no checks and balance about in the early 2000s on who was getting the contracts and who was not getting the contracts. I think that we have learned a very valuable lesson, and we could perhaps do a better job of it now.
Do you feel the state needs to increase its revenues in order to fund things such as higher education?
Well, I don't think there's any question, Rich, that there is going to have to be some kind of a increase in revenue. Where that revenue is going to be coming from, targeted, it's really hard to say at this point. As a budget group, when we first started, we were looking at the year budget in its totality. As time went on, it became quite obvious that we needed to do something to keep the state running, albeit only till January 2nd. But at that time in our discussions, there was discussions on all types of revenue, some of which I thought, who ever thought of this? But it's all on the table, I would say, right now. In addition to that, there is discussion of perhaps bonding part of our debt. We anticipate our debt will be at about $10 billion, and so there is discussions about bonding part of that because we are oftentimes paying at a rate of about 12% interest. We are being told by the Office of Budget and Management we could get that down to somewhere perhaps around 3.85-4%, depending upon when and how much we would sell in bonding. So that's all part of the discussion as well. I will say for my part, Rich, personally, when I talk to a lot of folks, they're not absolutely adamantly adverse to it, but they absolutely demand accountability. So they want to know if and when there is an increase in revenue, be it taxes, whatever it would be, they want a plan. They want to know that if they're going to pay these additional tax dollars, that indeed it is going to go to the areas that have been agreed upon.
And do you believe any tax increase or other sort of increase in revenue must be tied to some of the reforms you talked about, workers' comp, some of the other things, the governor's turnaround agenda?
So when we did this stopgap agreement, and actually when we started our budget discussions, when we have our budget discussions, there is no discussion of the turnaround agenda. That is not tied to what we as a group of 16 are doing. There are other groups that are bipartisan groups that are meeting on those issues. I'm not certain if they are still meeting as we sit here today. They have gotten a little closer to agreement on some things and further away on other things. Since I'm not in those groups, I'm not privy to it. But there was no tie to that agenda for the stopgap, and there was no discussion of it in our previous budget groups. But I think the reality of it is, for example, with workers' comp, there could be some savings to the state. And so those are some areas that perhaps there could be some room for compromise.
Well, what do you envision for Western Illinois University? Is it going to have to change? It's already announced that it's dropping four courses as majors. So do you think Western and perhaps some of these other schools are going to have to make some changes like that?
Well, Rich, I'm not going to get into the decisions that are made at administrative levels with these four-year universities. I think that they need to police their own backyard, and I'm more than willing to listen to what they have to say and what they're doing, but I'm going to leave that up to the experts within the individual institutions because they know their strengths and they know their weaknesses. I do not believe that we as a General Assembly need to be dictating to these 4 years or the community colleges, for that matter, how we would envision them to make changes. I think that's important that they have the flexibility to do that themselves. And, if they need to bring it to the General Assembly for some kind of a blessing, then bring your arguments for and against with you. But I don't think that as a General Assembly that's something that we should be doing.
Can you, as a General Assembly, provide higher education with the money it says it needs to do what it feels it needs to do?
Well, I think that we can do that. We seem to be getting closer and closer, and I can tell you, working not just with the group of 16, but certainly the group of four, we have worked very well together. And, push came to shove when there was discussion that the $1 billion that we had identified that we could not only afford but actually fund, we could identify that we actually had the funding to pay it and we weren't making promises that we couldn't fund. When it came time for that, we worked collectively. For example, Western received 90% of that funding, as did Eastern and Chicago State. The others were at a level of 82%. I was able to advocate for Western, certainly, to say we have a need that is at this point in time somewhat greater than some of the other institutions that have other funds that they can tap into. Western, Eastern, and Chicago State did not have that luxury. So that was an exercise that I saw that worked, that my colleagues understood the need, and we were able to share that and get the blessing of our other colleagues. So I think that there is a willingness and certainly an appetite for a vast majority of us to fully fund higher education, and not just at the four-year level but also at the community college level. We kind of get into the weeds when we get into some of the grant programs that may have a greater impact in the Cook County area, other areas of the state that maybe aren't all that successful. And we have spent a lot of money on a lot of grant programs and haven't seen the real bang for our buck. So perhaps those are dollars that would be better spent going into operations.
What types of grants?
So, Rich, for example, we have a program called Grow Your Own, and it is a grant program for teachers. Well, we've spent about $23 million on the program, and we've graduated about 100 students. So I'm kind of skeptical of those kinds of programs. Would those 100 students be better off with a concentrated mentor program rather than spending a lot of grant dollars on an individual program that's heavily laden with an administrative level where a lot of the funding doesn't trickle down to the student. So I think that those are areas that while it may not be a lot of money, trust me, when we were putting together this stopgap, if we found $1 million and we identified that we had it and we could use it, it was like Christmas morning. So I think that there are areas within higher education that we can identify some dollars that would be better spent if they were able to go directly into operations or into MAP grant funding.
Of the four of you from that are talking higher education, mm-hmm. two are from Chicago. Do they understand what higher education means to Champaign and Macomb and other downstate communities?
And they do. Kelly Burke is the chair of our higher education committee in the House. She is a great proponent for higher education. Chapin Rose, of course, he's from Charleston, now lives in Urbana, so he certainly gets it. And then Senator Donnie Trotter from Chicago, Chicago State University, is in the senator's district, and he understands it greatly. And I have really enjoyed working with him because not just for, Western and Eastern and Chicago State going through a lot of the same pressures, but Senator Trotter is very outspoken, very much a realist, and he is a proponent not just for Chicago State, but for all of higher ed. And I find that with all of my other colleagues too.
Given that Western has pretty much spent down its reserves, and I'm sure some of the other schools have too, are you confident that before January 2nd, some sort of agreement can be reached so everybody is not on pins and needles heading into the new year?
So in a perfect world, in my opinion, and this is strictly my opinion personally, I would like to see our budget group, all 16, back to the table, having honest, open discussions. If we can't do it in August, and I get that, there are a lot of pressures with members, kids going back to school and trying to get settled in. But I would like to see us get back to the table in September, begin our discussions in earnest, and try to come to a compromise that would be negotiated and bring a plan to our colleagues in November when we go into veto session for the first week. And that way, this is kind of a concept, they would have some time to look at the plan, analyze the plan, digest it, offer suggestions. And then when we would come back the second week of veto session, we would have an opportunity to vote on it. So now we're talking, late November, very early December. I think that would be the most honest and fair way of doing it because it's not ideal to put all of our state agencies, our universities, our community colleges back on pins and needles at the end of the year. What am I going to do after January 2nd? It's just not fair.
So that's your dream.
That's my dream.
Any chance of it being a reality? Well, when did you last meet? Was it at the end of June?
It was at the end of June. Actually, okay. our higher ed group, we had a conference call that we've actually had a couple just to do a little cleanup.
Since then?
Since then,
okay.
Yes. But, that's my dream. Is it going to happen? It all hinges on the speaker. He certainly controls all of it. The budget working group is comprised of three Senate Democrats, three Senate Republicans, three House Republicans, and seven House Democrats. That's the way the Speaker made it up, and so be it. So you just, you know, you work together and you move on. And but ultimately, will he allow us as a group to start our meetings again in earnest? I just don't know. I just don't know. I'm not, you know, I don't know if he wants his members in those meetings before the election. I don't, I'm just not sure. I can't read his mind, and that's probably best. But in my ideal world, we would be meeting in September.
Anything you want to add about the future of higher education?
I'm hopeful. I just I think that you know, sometimes crisis brings about good change, and I'm hopeful that we can put all this behind us, because it's not been healthy, and it is certainly it is a huge deterrent to our universities being able to carry out their mission, and that is to educate students. And they should have some sense of reality of what are the dollars going to be. They've been able to adjust, and God bless them for it. You know, basically, our state support versus income funds has flip-flopped over the last 15 years. And, you know, Illinois is the fifth highest state in the nation for tuition and fees. When you think about that, that's just pretty incredible. And I think that we need to get the proper funding to our universities so they can give the student the best bang for their buck.
You said sometimes good can come out of crisis. Have you seen anything good happen at Western as a result of what's happened in the last year?
Well, you know, I think that since this has happened, you know, now we're into the summer months. I don't know how their enrollment is. I think that enrollment throughout the state is down. And again, I go back to the fact that, you know, we are the fifth highest state in the nation for tuition and fees. And I go back, Rich, to, if you remember, I can't tell you what year it was, but you will remember, and Western was the first one out of the box to guarantee four-year tuition. Western currently guarantees four-year tuition and fees. And then it became the law of the land that all of our universities would do that. Sometimes I think that when I look back on that, was that the right thing to do? I'm not so sure. I think the way it was originally intended was a good thing, but we also got into a decline in funding to our state universities, so they had to protect themselves. They didn't know what the funding was going to be from one year to the next, which is absurd, but they didn't, and so they would have to adjust for that four-year tuition guarantee. And looking back, I'm not so sure that that was what we intended to do. So do I think that there are some good things? I think that a lot of our universities are certainly focusing on their strengths, and perhaps that will reiterate in their marketing strategies as well. So I think we got a ways to go, though, before we see if there was any silver lining to this cloud.